Well, the report didn't conclude anything. You see, what worries me about the report, firstly, it seems to have been a thorough investigation. We shouldn't into what they could possibly get out of Judge Tulare's statement in the bail hearing. But one must remember, bail hearings allow hearsay also. So, but one of the disturbing things was the investigation on page 9, they state clearly they could not have access to any of the evidence that the judge used in his judgment to draw his conclusions. And then they looked at other documentation. They asked the SAPs, but the SAPs had already referred their matter, obviously, to the state attorney's office, because the state had preferred, if there's allegations against the SAPs, the state attorney handles that particular matter. So all in all, they could discover and uncover absolutely nothing that would prove whatever was alleged by the judge. And I want to say what was alleged by the judge. Doesn't mean it's a fait accompli, it's a fact. Now, you know, what is disturbing, I had hoped that the investigation would at least result possibly or create grounds for a commission of inquiry, perhaps, in terms of the Western Cape Provincial Commissions Act of 1998. But unfortunately, the report also states at paragraph 10 that it cannot, they don't have enough to invoke that. So that to me is an issue, much as thorough. At least the report did not speculate on what possibly things, because it stuck as close as possible to the facts that they could uncover or could not uncover. So that to me is one thing one must compliment it on. But when one comes to the options they argue, that's where I ask myself, okay, option one, the provincial commission and executive, the suggestion is that he appears before the provincial commissioner to explain the judgment, and he be informed of a loss of confidence in him as a result of the Tulare judgment. That cannot be exercised, that option, because there's no evidence to support it as the investigation. So what is the commission again to answer for? You know, the option two, it even then tries to say, should the provincial commissioner be recalcitrant or disdainful, non-cooperative or hostile towards the provincial cabinet, he should opt to remain silent, or should his explanation be unacceptable and unconvincing to the cabinet, then following that, and then later they say they can even recall the provincial commissioner or ask that he be transferred. Once again, if you exercise this option on the basis of what are you saying that, because you're already saying you can't uncover any evidence to support what the judge says in the report. Now, the option three is quite interesting, because it states that everyone should wait until any other investigations into the findings into the Tulare Commission report is completed. Seems to be a reasonable option. For example, the IPOT criminal investigation must be completed. We must wait until the state attorney is finished and those things. That seems to be very reasonable, and I want to explain why. Because, you know, I was the expert witness into the numbers gang in the actual trial. I'm not talking about the bail hearing. For 4 days I was in there. None of my evidence was contested. Now, I certainly, in the trial, I was referring to the structure of gangs and all of those things and how they think and interpreting language and everything that they use in order to support the state's case against the mobsters. Now, I certainly did not present evidence to touch on these matters, because I was looking at the gang as a whole, as a criminal entity. So I mean, I think we should wait for the outcome of the other things, you see. All these other investigations, the option three is probably the more reasonable option, okay? So you cannot even say there's proof of unacceptable behavior by the provincial commissioner or senior management if you, on the basis of the Tulare report, that it says in the conclusion of that particular ombudsman document and the media publications, and then assume that you can take action. You know, is that part is clear from the report? So, like I said, my summary is they could not uncover anything, as they clearly state. But then I would highly recommend that the Premier looks in terms of option three if they want to explore the matter, however. However, you know, the other issue that if the Premier wants to look at justification for a commission of inquiry, all he needs to do is to take the stats over the past 2 years or 3 years. So look at the constant increase in crime, the increase in gang-related deaths, and then ask a focus a commission of inquiry into what the police is capable of doing in the threat. Are they delivering against what they're capable or what they are required to do under the Constitution to deal with this particular threat? And if they're not delivering, why are they not delivering? Now, I think that would be an important step. You remember the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry almost had a similar premise when the province invoked it. So go find other reasons to invoke the Commission of Inquiry and open the matter up. But definitely, this report is no, could not be able to constitute substance, as they correctly admit in the document, to do so.
It leaves us, I guess, with more questions, as we also have, I guess, the processes underway in Parliament and, of course, at the Madlanga Commission. And these are, as you mentioned, I think, and correctly outlined and analysed, there is, at this point, not enough information that we know that can, I guess, help steer a particular direction going forward, other than those options which the report outlines. And I guess we're going to have to wait and see what action is taken. For now, though, Jeremy Veery, former head of detectives in the Western Cape, thank you so much for your time.